Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Thank you, church. It's an honor to be here tonight sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. And I just wanted to honor your pastors, Pastor Andy, and I think Pastor Graham as well. I'm not sure what he looks like, but if he's here, it's an honor to be here, sir, as well, and to be sharing the gospel tonight. As Lauren said, my name is Layla, and I'm from Numa Church. So we've just seen God really break out in a new way, a fresh way in our church. Over the past 6 months, we really believe that revival is breaking out in our church, and we've seen so many signs and wonders and miracles. Seen, I think, 12 people healed from cancer, verifiably healed from cancer, and God is just moving in a powerful way. So it's exciting to be there, and I know our team and our pastors send their love as well. It's an honor to build the kingdom of God together in the city of Melbourne. How many know that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is the king over Melbourne, that he reigns in this place, and we're joining in partnering in advancing the kingdom of God here together. So it's an honor to be with you tonight, and I'm excited to share the word of God. I actually got saved in a little town called Palmerston North, New Zealand. Any Kiwis in the house tonight? Yes, one Kiwi over here. Over in New Zealand, moved from England. My dad is Iranian and my mum is Irish. And we moved from England to New Zealand when I was 2 years old. When I was 5 years old, my auntie from Iran moved in with us in Palmerston North. And we didn't know at the time, but she was actually schizophrenic. And so our home life was very chaotic, as you can imagine. She's living with us. My parents had 3 young kids under the age of 5. And my dad is a professor of robotic engineering, so he was very much always sort of focused on that. And my mum was at home with the 3 of us kids and this lady who had schizophrenia. And so she ended up just losing it, couldn't handle it anymore. And she said to my dad, I'm going to take the kids and I'm going to leave. I'm going to go. And so we ended up moving out. We had a restraining order put on my auntie and my dad because my auntie was threatening my dad with knives and things like that. It was very unsafe. And so we moved into a women's and children's shelter. While we were living in the women's and children's shelter, a lady from a church just like this reached out and shared the gospel with my mum. And we didn't know at the time, but some parents of the kids in my class had actually been praying for our family, and they had been believing God that Jesus would reveal himself to my family in a powerful way. And so my mum ended up giving her life to Jesus, surrendering her heart to God, and she ended up getting baptized in this lady and her husband's bathtub, which is a very unconventional way of doing baptisms. I don't know if I recommend that, but God really showed up in our world. Then my mum ended up moving back into home with my dad, and we ended up living back there again. And my dad ended up coming to church just like this as well with us. He was from a Muslim background, but he was like, you know, I know about Abraham and I know about Moses, sort of same but different, right? What harm could it do? And so he's sitting in the back row and he's just listening to all these testimonies. We had a church it was just full of people whose lives were being transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus, and people who were being set free from addictions and healed, and lives were just being transformed. And they would get up and share testimonies, just like my brother tonight. And they would share testimonies and they talked about the Holy Spirit. And so my dad had heard about these other Bible characters, but he'd never heard about the Holy Spirit. And so being the professor, the engineer, the scientist that he was, he decided to do an experiment on this Holy Spirit. And so he was lying in bed one night and he just said, Holy Spirit, if you're real, then show me. And how many know that's a dangerous prayer for a Muslim to pray? Holy Spirit, yeah, okay, no worries. So the Holy Spirit just showed up in his world. The Holy Spirit, just the wind of God just blew all over his body. And being the scientist that he was like, what a coincidence. Like, that's just not possible. And so he got up, tried to check the windows, curtains. Nothing was open, went back to bed. And then it felt that power of God, that wind of God over him once again. And then for a third time, it happened sort of more intense than before. And he heard God speak to him and say, I want to show you that I'm real. I want to show you that Jesus is real. And from that moment on, my dad was just sold out for Jesus. He got saved, got baptized. And yeah, we can give God some praise for that. God is awesome. And so I've grown up in church ever since, from the age of 5 years old. And I'm really passionate about people encountering Jesus and about churches sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with our neighbors, with everybody around us, and also helping people to encounter the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that these two things are such a powerful part of our Christianity and our faith. And so tonight I'd love to share for the next few moments a message called Those Who Turn the World Upside Down. Those who turn the world upside down. And if you could turn with me to Acts chapter 17 and verse 1, that would be awesome. Acts chapter 17 and verse 1. It says this. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews were jealous, and taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. And Jason has received them, and they are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." How many know that there is another king and his name is Jesus? He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of our lives. He is the King of this nation and the nations of the world. We see in this passage of Scripture that there was a clash of kingdoms going on. That there were some people called the disciples of Jesus, and as they went, everywhere that they went, sharing the gospel and demonstrating the gospel through signs and wonders and miracles, everywhere that they went, there was a clash of kingdoms. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world began to clash with each other, because there were people who were ready to turn the world upside down. When we carry the kingdom of God on the inside of us, it turns the world as we know it upside down for the better. It turns the lives of those around us upside down so that they would know Jesus and their lives would be transformed. Has Jesus turned anybody's world upside down in this room today? Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus wants to come and turn our worlds upside down. I believe tonight that God wants us to have a look at what it means to be carriers of the kingdom of God. We are to be carriers of the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 17, we see these people who were carriers of the kingdom of God. Now, I was preaching in a church in East LA. The first time I ever preached in America, I was preaching in East LA. And it's not the safest place in the world. If anybody's been there, you would know what I'm talking about. But we came to the morning service, and the pastor of the service came up to me, the senior pastor. We're just having a meeting before the service, and he just said, "Hey, Layla, just want you to know, if anyone pulls a gun on you in the service, don't worry, because we've got some police officers and different people, and they're just in plain clothes, and they have concealed weapons on them, and they are ready for action, all right? I'm like, oh, excellent. That makes me feel heaps better, like wonderful, incredible. And I didn't realize, because, you know, they were concealed, they have a law in America called, you know, concealed carry, and you have to hide your weapon, or there's something else called open carry, where it's out in the open for everyone to see. I didn't realize that a lot of my friends in America actually did carry weapons on them in a concealed manner. I would never have known, because they'd never shown me, they'd never told me about it, but when they told me about it, I realized that they were actually carrying something on them that I'd never seen. And as I was preparing this message and I was reading through this passage, God used this illustration to speak to me and say, Layla, I want to take my church across the globe from being people who are concealed carriers of the kingdom, who carry the kingdom of God within them, to be people who carry the kingdom of God in an open manner, to be people who release the kingdom of God in the world around them. The world needs to know that the kingdom of Jesus Christ is on the inside of us. The world needs to have an encounter with the Jesus who lives on the inside of us. And I believe that as we carry him openly, as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we demonstrate the kingdom, people will come to know him in a powerful way. And so I just want to have a look tonight at four recognizable signs that we are kingdom carriers. What do kingdom carriers look like, and what are the markings of kingdom carriers? The first thing that we see kingdom carriers do is that kingdom carriers pursue kingdom priorities. Kingdom carriers pursue kingdom priorities. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Luke chapter 12 and verse 31 to 32 very similarly says, but seek for the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I love the passage of scripture in the Bible that talks about a tax collector named Zacchaeus. We know, if we know the story of Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus was a man with messed up priorities. He was a man who would do anything to get to the top, to get ahead. He messed up other people's lives. His priorities, his life was all out of order, but he was successful in his eyes. But there was still something missing. He was still desperate to encounter this Jesus that he saw walking by, changing lives, carrying the kingdom of God and bringing the kingdom of God near to people. And so he pursued Jesus. He sought Jesus. We see in his life only one meal with Jesus, only one encounter with Jesus was enough to turn his world upside down. One encounter with Jesus turned his priorities around. One encounter with Jesus caused Zacchaeus to take his priorities and say, Jesus, I don't want to go the way that I've been going. I don't want to prioritize the things that I've been prioritizing anymore. Jesus, I'm going your way. I'm repaying everyone. I'm giving them back fourfold. And I am laying down my life to follow you. How many know when we encounter Jesus, when we are kingdom carriers, we pursue kingdom priorities. We know that it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. That it is his life, not my life. And we are to pursue kingdom priorities. We exchange what is in our hands for what is in God's hands. Jesus comes and he turns his world upside down. I love what Jesus says about pursuing kingdom priorities. He says in John chapter 4 and verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Control in our lives, having control over our lives, might be comforting, but we know that surrender is satisfying. Surrendering to his will, surrendering to his way, following his priorities for our lives is truly satisfying. The second thing that we see from kingdom carriers is that kingdom carriers receive kingdom insight. Kingdom carriers receive kingdom insight. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 11, it says, he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it has not been given. As kingdom carriers, we receive special insider knowledge from God, and we are awakened to the mysteries of the kingdom of God. We are awakened to the mysteries of Christ and the mysteries of God and in God. And I don't know if you've seen The Chronicles of Narnia, or maybe you've read these books by C.S. Lewis, The Chronicles of Narnia. It gives us a great picture of these kids who were encountering a kingdom that was not of this world, and they would go between that kingdom and the kingdom of the world, and it was supposed to be a picture of the kingdom of heaven and how it interacts with the kingdom of this world. And I believe as kingdom carriers, God has made us the connection point of the kingdom of God to the world around us. We are the connection point that the people in our world have with the kingdom of God. When we go to other countries, maybe you've traveled and you've been far and wide across the globe. When we go to other countries, we can bring back souvenirs for people in our world back home. What we're doing when we bring back souvenirs is we are allowing the people in our world to encounter and be able to taste the world that we have been in, or the location that we have been in. In the same way, I believe that God has called kingdom carriers, Christians, men and women of God, to bring back kingdom souvenirs for the world around us so that they can encounter the kingdom of God. Everywhere that Jesus went, he said, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." You are encountering the kingdom as you are encountering Jesus. God has called us to bring kingdom inside and to open blind eyes. I have a friend named Adam, and he grew up in Melbourne, and he came from a Muslim background as well. And when he was about 15 years old, his parents split up, and his world just sort of spiraled out of control. And he was very angry. I didn't understand what was happening in his life, and his world just started falling apart. He started turning to alcohol and drugs, and did ice and all of this sort of stuff. Would go out to nightclubs and just party every weekend. And he got a job in airport security, because how many know you want those type of people working in airport security? By the grace of God, somehow he got a job in airport security. And he was working there. And in his job in airport security at Tullamarine Airport, he had two Christian guys who reached out to him and shared the gospel with him. And they were just friends at work, and so they would love on him and share the gospel with him. But he did not want to have anything to do with religion. He'd come from a Muslim background, thought it was all make-believe, all rubbish. And he was like, "Don't talk to me about this God stuff. I don't want to know about it." And so they just kept loving on him. He would go out partying all night, and they would go pick him up for work in the morning, bring him to work. And so one morning he prayed this prayer in Tullamarine Airport. He was frustrated. He was just at the end of his rope. And he just said, "God, if you're real, then prove it. God, if you're real, then prove it." And he walked into work that day. And as he was on the security line, people were coming through. Someone who was a Christian came through and spoke to my friend Adam, and they said, "Hey, you don't know me, but I'm a Christian, and I believe that God told me to tell you that he loves you and he has a plan for your life." And he's like, "What? That's crazy." Like, didn't know what was going on, was sort of thinking about it as the next people came through. That guy went and caught his flight. And then a little while later, someone else came through security that day and said to him, "Hey, I'm a Christian, and I just felt God wanted to share with you that he heard the prayer you prayed, and he wanted to tell you that he loves you and he has a plan for your life." Isn't that amazing? My friend Adam was like, "That's it. Call the police." No, not call the police. "Call the priest. I'm getting baptized. I want to become a Christian." And so he went to these people's church and he got baptized. My friend Adam is now a pastor in New Zealand. He has seen thousands of people come to know the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I preached in his church 2 weeks ago. God is moving in their church in a powerful way, all because there were some people, some kingdom carriers who loved on him in his workplace, but also some others who just heard from heaven, who had a ear inclined to the heart of God, who heard the voice of God, who stepped out in boldness to carry kingdom inside insight kingdom mysteries with people who are far from God. As they did it, my friend's life was completely changed, and lives around him have been changed since as well. Kingdom carriers carry kingdom insight. The third thing that we see, maybe if the worship team could join me, is that kingdom carriers assume a kingdom posture. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 14, it says, "But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased, and he said to them, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.'" The posture of the kingdom and the posture of kingdom carriers is childlike faith. Kingdom carriers assume the kingdom posture of childlike faith. Maturity in the world's eyes is about getting older, more independent, and living a life that gains respect. But maturity in the kingdom is about growing younger, becoming more dependent on God, and having a willingness to look foolish in the world's eyes. Kingdom carriers assume a posture of childlike faith. We are those who are growing younger and younger as we become more dependent on God, on his power and on his strength in our lives. I don't know if you've ever seen the film Benjamin Button, but it's all about this guy who grows younger as he gets older. His body gets younger and younger and younger as he gets older and older and older, until at the end of the movie, you see him radically becoming younger, rapidly, and he begins to shed his clothes. And so he goes from, you know, a three-year-old, and he gets younger and younger and younger, and he grows out of those clothes. He sheds those clothes until he's just wrapped in a cloth. And as we see this picture, I believe it's a picture of what God wants us to become like in the kingdom. As we grow in our maturity, as we grow in God, as we grow deeper in our relationship with God, our intimacy with God, we need to grow younger and younger and younger. And as we do, I believe that we shed the things of this world. We shed the things of cynicism. We shed doubt. We shed self-dependence and reliance. We shed all of these things that the world has put on us, and we become childlike in our faith and our dependence on God. The fourth and the final thing that I want to share about kingdom carriers is that kingdom carriers release kingdom power. God has called us to carry kingdom power. Everywhere that Jesus went, he talked about the gospel of the kingdom. He said in Matthew 24, verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Luke chapter 9 verse 2, it says, "He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20 says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." We have been sent to release kingdom power as kingdom carriers into the world around us. And at a very foundational level, I believe the way that we release kingdom power into the lives of those who are far from God is found in this passage of scripture that we see in Acts chapter 17 about those who turn the world upside down. It says this in Acts 17 verse 2, "As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures." That word "reasoned with them" literally means he had a conversation with them. He dialogued with them about Jesus, about the scriptures, about Jesus being the Christ. And I believe that the way that we carry the kingdom of God into the world around us, the way that we are kingdom carriers and we carry the kingdom of God into the people's lives, in our streets, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our workplaces, is simply by having a conversation with them. I believe every single person is only one conversation away from encountering the life-transforming power of Jesus Christ. Every person is only one conversation away. I moved from Adelaide to Geelong. I grew up in Geelong, but moved to Adelaide for 14 years, was pastoring over there, just moved back at the start of last year. So I got a brand new dentist in Geelong, and went to this dentist. And was just talking to him. We were making small talk. You know, it's never a fun time going to the dentist. Sorry if there's any dentists in the room. You're probably great at your job, but it's never fun for anyone going to the dentist. And so we're just making small talk. He's chatting with me, and I'm doing my PhD in theology. And so he's asking me, he's like, why would anybody do a PhD in theology? Like, what's that all about? And so I'm trying to explain it in words that make sense to unbelievers, and I'm talking to him about that. And he's asking me about God, and so I'm just trying to answer the questions. You know, he's got his fingers in my mouth. I'm trying to answer the questions. And he said, what church do you go to? We're in Geelong, which is probably an hour and 15 minutes away from my church. And I was like, oh, it's really weird. I travel a long way to get to my church, but I go to a church in Richmond, in Melbourne, and it's called Numa Church. And my dentist goes to me, no. I'm like, oh no, like, has he had a bad experience with this church? What's happened? And he's like, it was Wednesday at the time. He's like, on Sunday, I was walking past that church in Richmond. My friend and I wanted to get banh mi's from Bridge Road, and we were looking in the window trying to work out what was going on in there, reading all the signs, just looking into the church and just wondering what was happening. He said, do you think that's a coincidence? And I was like, no, I don't think it was a coincidence. Before I could even say anything to my dentist, he's like, I live only a suburb over from there. We're in Geelong. How is this happening? He's like, I live only a suburb over from Richmond. Do you think I could come to your church one day? I was like, of course. Like, that would be awesome. We would love you to come. And so he's like, I'll come this weekend. I was flying out to America that weekend. And I was like, no worries. If you come to my church, I was sort of half thinking, is he actually going to come? Like, what is this? If you come, I'll give you all my friends' details and they'll connect you. And so he shows up on Sunday night. He goes to church. He connects with some of my friends there, gives his life to Jesus that night. And then he gets totally transformed by God, just changing his world. He's connected in a life group in our church. A few weeks ago, he was playing guitar for the first time as part of our worship team. I'll look over in prayer meetings. I remember one night at a prayer meeting, I was looking over. He was praying for our senior pastor, like laying hands on the senior pastor, just praying for him. I was like, what the heck is going on here? This is crazy. That's my dentist. That's the guy who I'm with hands in my mouth, all that sort of stuff. But I believe that every single person is only one conversation away from encountering the life-transforming power of Jesus Christ. I believe today, church, that God wants to stir us up to go out into the world, to carry the kingdom of God, not just the kingdom of God within us, but to release the kingdom of God into the world around us so that people can find the same hope, the same truth, the same life that we have found in Jesus Christ. Can we stand to our feet right now? We're going to pray just with every head bowed and every eye closed in this room. I'm going to ask the worship team to lead us in worship in just a moment, and I'll hand back to your pastors. But if you would say in this room tonight, Layla, I want to carry the kingdom of God to the world around me. I want people around me to encounter Jesus like I've encountered Jesus, to have a life-transforming encounter with him, then could you just lift up your hands to heaven right now? We're going to pray and we're going to stand in agreement today that the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, just like Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, to be witnesses to Christ in the world around us. And so God, we just thank you for every single person in this room with their hand raised saying, Jesus, I want to carry the kingdom of God to the world around me. God, we know that there is a lost and a broken and a dying world around us, in our workplaces, in our families. We know, God, in our schools, in our universities, God, there are people who are far from you, who are going to a lost eternity unless they have an encounter with you, Jesus, and surrender their lives to you. And so, God, we pray that we would be the connection point between the kingdom of God and this world, their lives, God. Let us be people who carry the power of God to demonstrate and witness that Jesus Christ is real here on this earth. Jesus, I pray right now that you would fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses for you, Lord God, in the world around us. And we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory for the lives that are going to be changed by the power of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, Amen, amen. Awesome. Thank you, worship team. If you could lead us, and if you'd like to just enter into a time of worship, just pray. Maybe there's people in your world who need Jesus. I'd encourage you to just pray for them in this moment as well. Ask God to give you opportunities to share the gospel with them this week. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.